Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 43-45. Luke 6, 43. It says, everybody there? It says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good, bad tree bear good fruit. For every, say that fast, five times. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Now let's go over to James 1. Thank you, Jesus. James 1, verse 26. James 1:26 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religious, one's religion is useless. That's a strong statement. What's he saying, though? We need to bridle our tongue. We need to agree with the Word of God and say what the Word of God says and what the Word of God would have us to say in circumstances. If we say, well, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian and I believe all that, and I believe whatever you want to say. I'm a faith man, or I believe God, and I'm, you know, I have it all together. But we go off by ourselves or even around people and we speak things completely contrary. The Bible says our religion is useless. Do our words matter? Yes, they do. We were talking about going in on faith on Wednesday nights, and we just got into how to turn your faith loose. A lot of it has to do with your words. And we're not going there in that vein today. But, you know, the first scripture we read is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you have in your heart, it will come out. How do you change what's in your heart? You need to put the word in and displace whatever there is there that doesn't need to be there, renewing our mind, getting the word in our heart. But we need to watch what comes out of our mouth. Even, see, people have looked at it like, well, if I just, this is partly true, if I get enough word in my heart, then I will have no problems with my mouth. If you get more word in your heart, what comes out of your heart is going to go through your mouth and you're going to be speaking more right things. But you have to control your tongue. It's not automatic. We need to bridle our tongue, and we need to, when we feel like saying the wrong thing, we need to speak in line with God's word. This is critical. Because I don't care how much word we have or how long we've been walking in so-called word and faith circles, it does not matter what you know and what you heard. In fact, somebody said it like this: you know what you do. And so many people have this wrong. They think, I've heard it, so I know it. Not so. We know what we do. In other words, you say, I've heard something and I know that. If you don't do it, you don't know it. We know this in the natural. I know I'm supposed to exercise 4 times a week or whatever. Do you do it? We could look at it, any one of us. Do we do it? I know I'm supposed to eat healthy. I'm not supposed to eat this. What are we doing, though? It doesn't matter that we've heard or read some pamphlet. What are we doing? And this is critical when it comes to spiritual things, because if we think, well, I know I'm not supposed to let this come out of my mouth, but it's only my spouse that's hearing it, or it's nobody's hearing it, it's just me. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but darn it, I feel like it anyway, and I just, why does this have to happen? And why is this happening? And I'm not sure about this. And I know I'm not supposed to say this, but, and here we go. Bible says that's useless, and you're deceiving your own heart. And you are, and we are. Somebody said it like this, evangelist I knew. He said, when I point my finger at you, he said, there's 3 pointing back at me, and he goes, and 1 and 4 if you have a curly thumb. So when I'm preaching, it's not like I'm getting all you. It's us, right? We all have to deal with the same things. But when we, and we've all been there, where we want to say something. In fact, you're getting pressure to say the wrong thing. Has anybody been there? It seems like anything, and it's everything you can do not to say something. Where's that pressure coming from? Shelly was talking to somebody just this week, and they said, well, we believe, you know, that's, I don't know if this person's born again or not. They were saying, we believe that really man's problem. I mean, there's a devil, but we're not really dealing with him. This had to do with some Halloween stuff. We're not really dealing with him. I mean, what we're really dealing with is man's evil and the evil within themselves. And we're messing up basically all the time. So that's what we're dealing with. Not really, you know, dealing with the devil per se. Well, we are dealing with stuff in our own lives, no doubt about it. We have to push against that. But where does it originate? And where did all the demons that are talked about in Acts and the Gospels, where did they go if they're not here now? And what scripture do we have that they passed away or they're not here on earth? No, that's pretty convenient. And it sounds like something exactly the devil would want you to think is that he may exist, but he's not here and he's not doing anything. That means he can do anything he wants because he's not here. He loves that doctrine. Oh, he loves it. He'll just completely support that. I'm not here. That's like a thief. I'm not here. Steal you blind, but I'm not here. No, the devil is pushing his. There are demon forces. There are demonic forces, and they will pressure you. But what we have to know about them is they're nothing before God, and they're nothing before the believer. We never have to be afraid of them, ever. But when you get pressure to say something, and you feel like it's all you can do not to let it out of your mouth, and you're feeling just pressured in a situation. We've all been there. Where is that pressure coming from? What's trying to get you to say something, and why is it so important that you say it? What are they trying to get you to do? To agree with the wrong thing and to take sides against God. And when you say it, you're decreeing that. Like what we were saying earlier after the praise and worship. They'll try to get you by circumstance to get you to see and feel and cry uncle and to start speaking, This isn't going to work out. I don't know why this is happening. Why is that person doing this? They're never going to like me. I'm probably going to lose my job there. We're never going to be able to make the bills. We're never going to get out of this. That person hates me, I'm sure of it. They're probably talking about me. What are you yielding to at that point? We're yielding to the enemy. Where are those thoughts coming from? Where are they? That's his plan for your life. What's he trying to get you to decree in your life? What he wants to get to pass and come to pass? There's pressure and pushing, and it doesn't matter what we know or what we've heard and what you amen to right now. It's when you're at home alone and the pressure's coming and the enemy, it's not the devil himself. I doubt very seriously any one of us has ever come in contact with the devil himself. It's a demon. It's a little imp. It's way down, on the totem pole, but, he's somewhere down the chain. But, yeah, you've come in contact with demons. But something is trying to get you to say the wrong thing. And it doesn't matter what you feel you believe. If in those times you start just yielding to the wrong thing, have you ever noticed this? You're feeling pretty good. You feel like you're built up in a way, but this is when we have to be very much on guard. You feel like things are going pretty well, but something kind of just nags you. Somebody cuts you off or whatever, and you can feel, because I'm just, everything's going well, I can just kind of be a little loose. It doesn't matter if I get irritated a little bit at this person or let something say, out of my mouth because I'm doing well. Maybe you just got through something. Have you ever noticed when you start speaking negative stuff, it can pick up very easily? All of a sudden, you weren't irritated and you yield to it thinking that's nothing. And 2 minutes later, you're really starting to get mad and you're starting to snap at your kids or your spouse. Why does that happen? Because you're yielding to the enemy. He wants you to yield to him. And we have a choice. Every moment of every day, what are we going to let come out of our mouth? Is it going to be yielding to the Holy Spirit within us? Or are we going to yield to the enemy? Now, I'm not saying you have a devil on you all the time. Don't get into that. And even if you did, it doesn't matter, because focus on God. God, if God is inside of me, the Holy One of Israel, amen. Who cares how many demons are around me? They can't do anything.
That's right.
Line up, like we said before, line up all the witches in New England and warlocks.
That's right.
And demons. They have nothing against one child of God, because God Almighty dwells inside of us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So if there's some pressure that's trying to get you to say the wrong thing and just bearing down on you, and you feel, and it's on your flesh or it's on your circumstances, you're either fighting symptoms or you're fighting financial conditions or family conditions. Jesus said, was it John 16:33? You will have tribulation in this life, but be of good cheer. I have overcome it. I've overcome this world. I've overcome it. So when those circumstances are pushing you and pressuring you and trying to get you to cry uncle, that is not the time to let your mouth loose and start agreeing with the devil's plan for your life and say, yeah, I don't see any way. I don't see how this is going to happen. That person probably hates me. This is probably, I'm probably going to have to go to the doctor again. I don't know. They can't do anything for me. You do that, you're yielding to darkness. You're dwelling in darkness. You're yielding to darkness. We don't need darkness when you're already facing darkness. What we need is to lift our head up and start speaking light. Because the Bible says God's word is light. His word is truth. Start speaking that. Start saying, we're coming out. I'm healed. I'm free of this. They're going to turn around. This situation's going to turn around. Start speaking. Well, I don't see how. That has nothing to do with it. If God said it, then that's what we agree with. But it does matter what we say. Make no mistake. What we read in James, if you deceive yourself, you don't bridle your tongue. You don't have the option, and I don't have the option, and the luxury of letting our mouth run wild. We need to bridle it. We tell it what to do. It says, if you don't bridle your tongue, what does it say? He doesn't bridle his tongue, but he deceives himself. Oh, how many people are in this boat? Well, I know the word. I'm not going to speak it right now when I'm actually in a trial. I amened it at church. I was praising God in the praise and worship, but now I feel pressure. And so I'm just going to let it go. But that doesn't really matter because in about 5 minutes I'm going to turn my mouth around and it'll all be okay. Wrong. Why yield? Why go down that path? Why give the devil free rein in your life for all that time and give him a foothold to start getting you into more darkness at all? Don't yield. Say, I can't. Bible said you can. Bible said we can. Well, I just don't feel like it. I can't. God understands. God may understand. The devil doesn't care. He'll run. He's just looking for a foothold. He's looking for you to let me in. Let me in. Well, God understands. I'm gonna whine and complain. God is on your side. The devil wants to kill you. Our problem is not God. God loves us and he's for us. But we need to do something with our mouth, and we can, by his grace. The Bible said we will not be tempted beyond what we can bear. When we feel the worst, when we feel like just laying on the bed and saying, forget it, there is no way, I want to cry, we can stand up and wipe our eyes off and say, I am not alone. I am not alone. God is with me. He's for me right now, and he has a good plan, and he knows the way out of here. And I'm going to speak his word right now. I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to say what he says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you'll praise him. Haven't even gotten to the third scripture yet. If you'll praise him. When you feel like crying about it. And speaking the wrong word. And letting it go. And saying whatever you feel like. If you'll instead say no. I am going to praise him. Lord, I'm praising you right now. I worship you. You are a good God. You are almighty. I'm not saying you praise him like some mechanic thing that like, well, this is what we're supposed to do now. Let's praise him. It's time to praise him. That is form. That is religion. That's useless. What we're saying is when you feel like you can't do anything but cry, and you don't want to do anything, you pick yourself up and say, instead of when your mouth wants to say the worst thing and say, I don't see how, instead of letting those words come out of your mouth, you say, praise be unto God. Let's try that. Let's see if everybody can do it right now. Let's do a test run. Right now, just put yourself in the simulator. Immense pressure is bearing down on you right now. You say, but it really isn't. But let's say it is. Let's simulate it. But that's not true. We're just testing the mechanics of the system. Let's just see if that works. There is immense pressure on you right now. Put yourself in the situation, in the worst situation you've been in, or if that's right now, you don't have to do much simulating. You just think of what stuff is at home right now. Put yourself there. Now, you feel like saying any number of things. Can't do it. Don't know how we're going to make it. Everybody close your eyes. I don't know how the child's going to turn around. Why is he into that? I don't know how this situation is going to turn around. I feel like quitting. I feel like I just don't want to come anymore. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to do that job. I feel like I'll just quit that job. I don't know how I'm going to ever get out of this physical thing. This probably is just going to get worse and worse and worse. It's probably going to not just take over that part of my body, but it's going to take over that. I don't know how my child's going to turn around. All these bad thoughts that are trying to get you to speak. Now, in the middle of that, you want to say all those things. But instead you say, bless the Lord. Say that. Bless the Lord. Lord, I praise you. Lord, you are more than enough. You're with me right now. You're for me right now. You have a way out right now. I worship you. You are all powerful. You've seen ahead and made provision. This will turn around. This will turn around. This will turn around. This will turn around. And you see it. Somebody said, well, I don't see it turn around. No, you say it. I see this turning around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet for a moment. Say that. Glory to God. I see this turning around. I see myself free. I see myself well. I see my finances whole. I see my children well. My children serve God. We're going up, not down. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Praise you,
Jesus. Well, let's see how we did. Who was able to do that? It sounded pretty good. Did your mouth work?
Yes.
You were able to do it. So what is it when you hear you can't do anything but give up?
Not true.
What is that? You can't. You might as well say it.
No.
What is that? It's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's a deception.
That's right.
It's not true. It's a lying vanity.
Right.
Did you hear me? It's a lying vanity.
Right.
It's not so. It's smoke and mirrors.
Right.
The devil is powerless. Well, he looks like he's doing stuff. No, don't give him any publicity. Well, he's... No! Tell him to shut up. Do this. You tell that harassing spirit, say, harassing spirit in the name of Jesus, shut up and leave me alone.
Amen.
And it will.
That's right.
It will. There's no, it has to. If you believe that and act on it, the devil has to go. He has to. And he knows it. He doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want me to know it. He knows it. This is how he works. He's a deceiver.
That's right.
As long as he can keep the wool over people's eyes and say, well, there's no way. There's no way. But there always is a way. Keith Moore tells a story. Reverend Keith Moore taught at Rhema for many years, worked in healing school for 16 years. Pastors two churches now, one in Branson, one in Florida. It's a pilot. You know, he's on traveled with Brother Hagin, on Brother Copeland's shows. Anyway, if you're not familiar with him, he tells a story, one particular. God will bail you out. God is a merciful God. People say, well, I just messed up so much, I just don't know how I can unwind this. You may have messed up, and chances are you probably did mess up if you're a human.
That's right.
But if we'll go to him and get it right. Now, if God tells you to do something, God is a merciful and good God. But if he tells you to do, you mess up and you go to him and say, God, I messed up. and you truly repent and say, God, I'm sorry, God will forgive you. And he'll make it right. He'll bail you out. And if you go back to him and do the same thing, and you forget, you repent, he'll bail you out. Now, you do that 3 or 4 times, he's going to want to talk to you and bring you aside and say, now, why aren't you listening to me? But he'll still forgive you, and he'll still go on, and he'll still help you. But we ought to look to him and follow him and do our best to do what he tells us to do. Otherwise, we open the door for the enemy to eat our lunch and pop the bag. Some people are saying, well, it just doesn't matter what I do. Oh, no, it matters what you do, just like it matters what you say. That's like, I can say whatever I want. Devil's not going to do it. Or God's okay with me. I'm okay. No, God loves you and he's okay. He's watching you destroy yourself. So we don't want to do that. But Keith Moore tells a story. He said, God will bail you out. He said, there was this, they had done, he said, when they first got going, then they started getting some money. You know, they grew up poor. And, you know, he's preaching, and they started actually doing well and having money. He said, I never handled this much money or money coming in. And he said, he got behind on his taxes. And, you know, he's behind $10,000, $13,000 or something. And he's just talking to this one gentleman, didn't say anything. And the guy said something about how he had, you know, had something to do with the IRS and gotten behind on his taxes. And, you know, all Keith Moore says, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And that's all he said. He didn't say anything to him. He knew this man somehow. The man called him later in the day, and oh, so I have to rewind. He had gotten himself behind, and he just went to God and said, oh, God, had buried his nose in the carpet and said, God, I messed up. I'm in this situation because I was stupid. I was stupid. I messed up. But God, I'm just calling on your mercy. I'm calling on your mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. And so he's talking to, this was, I don't know how long afterwards, he's talking to this gentleman and, you know, just came up but didn't say anything about his situation. He goes, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, whatever. The man calls him later in the day and says, how much do you owe the IRS? He said, God's been dealing with me. He goes, well, I don't want to talk, but he goes, no, I want to know because God's been dealing with me about something. How much do you owe the IRS? He said $13,000 or something that was around there. And he said he didn't miss a beat, didn't hesitate. He said, all right, I'm gonna send you $1,000 every month until we got that thing paid off. And he did. And they got it paid off. God is a merciful God. God will turn things around. If we'll go to him and get straight, there's anything is possible. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. The devil's trying to tell some people that it's impossible. You messed up. No, it's not impossible. That's a lie. But don't start saying it's impossible. Don't go to God and say, God, help us. And then on the other side of your mouth, start saying this is impossible. Do you hear me? Don't go to God and say, I'm believing for healing, and then go and say, I just hurt so much, I just don't know, and go and spend 15 minutes talking about how much it hurts. But I'm believing for healing. I don't want to pop your bubble, but you're not believing for healing. You're deceiving your own heart because you're not bridling your tongue, and you're giving place to the enemy and access to the enemy and saying things and yielding to him and saying, I'm believing God. God wants to do so much for us, but a lot of times he is bound by what we say. And he's just. Why did Jesus have to come like he came? Why didn't God just send him like, you know, the next day to Adam and just get this thing sewed up? Because he couldn't. He couldn't break his word. He set up is legally. He set this world up. The devil hoodwinked Adam. Adam's the ruler of this world. The devil came up and basically Adam bowed the knee to Satan. What's God going to come up and just say, oh, time out, do over, and break all the contracts? You couldn't do that in the natural. You sign a contract and it's legally binding. Doesn't matter if you mess up. Doesn't matter if God wants you get you out. It's a contract. How much more God? God's not going to break his word. See, we have this mentality, God loves me, so he can just come in and rescue me whenever he wants. He does it, he wants to, but he has to do it legally. And if we're with our words binding ourselves and saying, I can't, I won't, where is God, this is impossible, God can't override your will and come in and make it all right. Did you hear me? We're not talking about grace here. We're not talking about God's love. God did everything in Jesus, but we can't leave up to him what he left up to us. And there is a man part. Do you know, you could, because we can see this very clearly with the new birth. Does God want anybody to go to hell? Do people go to hell? Why doesn't God just step in and save them? Because he can't. They have a choice in the matter. They have to yield to him. They have to believe with their heart and confess Jesus. That's how you're saved. But we say, well, that's fine. I'm a Christian now. I'm in the family. I can do. God knows what I believe. I'm just having a, you know, pity party. God knows. But the devil doesn't care, and he'll kill you anyway. He'll walk in and he's looking for you to mess up, wanting you to give him a place. You give him an inch, he'll try to take a mile. This is critical. Now don't flip this around and say, well, you're just, you know, we're preaching, this is hard. This is the word. This is what the Bible says. And God said he won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. So when we feel, so we just proved it. The mechanism works, right? Earlier? We stood up, we said our mouth works. We can say. We can bless God even when we feel like not, right? You say, well, that's not the real thing. We can do it. We can say what he says. And if we'll agree with him, get this. If we'll agree with him, he has legal right to come in and do all he wants to do. We're saying, God, I don't care. Lord, you've done it. You said you've taken care of it. Lord, you said, I've already brought this before you. You said you'd take care of me. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to take care of me. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to say what he said. I'm going to say what he said. Satan has nothing to work with. He has nothing to work with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's so much here. Just want to wind up. But we just want to go in the right direction here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. I just think, let's just do this. We're not going to get into these things. Well, we'll see where we go next week. But let's just read a couple of these on your sheet. Because we only read a couple scriptures, but let's just look at your sheet quick and just read a couple of these things. In closing. Now, this would be a good thing if this is an area to bring this and look over these scriptures. We're probably going to get into some of them. You know, we may go on to some. We'll see next week. But just let's just lay our eyes on a few of these things. Look down at James 3, verse 10, the one that's underlined there. It says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Look at Proverbs 13, 2 through 3 there. It says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth, what? Preserves his life. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have what?
Destruction.
Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. It means we stay on top of this. For out of it spring the issues of life. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. What's a deceitful mouth? You're saying, what did we say earlier? What's the devil trying? What are those things that he's trying to get you to believe? They're deceptions. They're lies. Chalk this up. Whenever you feel discouragement or depression, those type of things coming on, you're believing the lies of the devil. Those are the lies. And when you let those come out of your mouth, that's a deceitful mouth. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Put them away. Don't even mess with it. Bless God. Colossians 4:6 there. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Let's look at Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no, did you notice that said let no? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Glory to God. A couple more. Let's just read them. 1 Peter 2, there. Verse 22, or actually, let's go to 21. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered with us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Let's read one more, 1 Peter 3:10. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is some of the best news you've ever heard. It may feel like, well, I don't know. No, if we've realized what we're doing, if we've realized that we're yielding to the wrong thing, we have two reactions. We can say, oh, I just don't know. I mean, I've done that. I just don't know how I can change it. Or we can agree with the Word of God and say, glory to God, I see what's been going on. Hallelujah. I see what's been going on, and that's not going to happen any longer, and I am going to yield to Him, and I'm not speaking that nonsense anymore. Amen. And we could go forth, and just like we had that exercise earlier, now this time it's not a simulation. Now this time it's real. And maybe you're in it right now. And the last thing you want to do is praise God. And it seems the worse it gets, the further praising God is from your mind. In fact, it can almost be repulsive to you. That is a sure sign you're yielding to the enemy. When it's feeling like, God, I don't want to praise God. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to go to church. Forget that. There ought to be this warning going off. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody is pushing you. And at that point, we've proven it. We can say, I'm going to praise Him anyway, right now. And I'm going to go read my Word anyway. I'm sure I'm getting to church because I'm not stupid. And I'm going to do what He said to do. And I'm going to come up where He said to come up. And do we pray before this or not? Did we pray that God would give us utterance? Did we pray that God would open the ears of our understanding? That we would hear what we needed to hear. And if we heard it, we'd be doers of it. God is answering our prayers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lord, we just worship You. In closing, let's just magnify Him. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, if Your Word shows up where we have been missing it or what we've been doing, Lord, we choose to yield to You. Instead of rejecting You and rejecting Your Word, we choose to put ourselves in line with You. Lord, if we've missed it, we choose to come back right where we need to be. We choose to go forth in Your strength and to line our lives up with what You're saying. Lord, we choose to praise You. Lord, we say we're not going to let any corrupt word come out of our mouth. We will not. We will praise You. We will honor You. We will agree with You. Somebody is saying right now, I don't believe that. You don't know what I'm going through. I can't do it. You are taking sides against the Word of God. If you'll trust Him and lean on His ability and His grace and His ability for you to perform His Word, you will see things change. But as long as you agree and take sides against Him and agree with the enemy, God cannot help you. Let's say this again. I will let no corrupt word come out of my mouth.
I will praise Him
at all times. At all times. At all times. At all times. Lord, I'll praise You. I'll glorify You. I'll allow You to do Your work in my life. Regardless of what I feel. Regardless of what I see. I will be moved by Your Word. And Your Word only. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we magnify You. And we honor You. Hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. Lord, we give. We just roll whatever the care of, whatever we came in with. If there is something, it's not a simulation, it's real. It's what we're dealing with right now. Lord, right now, we choose to honor You. We choose to roll the care of that over onto You. We choose to let you be God. We choose to say that you are deliverer. You are rampart.
Yes.
You are standby. You're our comforter. Lord, you have our best interest at heart, and we choose to agree with you, magnify you. Lord, take it. We roll it over onto you. Lord, we roll it over onto you. It's not our care. We choose to say what you have said about it. You're able. You're able. Say he's able. He's able. You are able. Didn't we sing that earlier? It doesn't mean anything if we sing it, if we don't act on it. He is able. He is able. Say he's able. He's able. Yes, with that, he's able. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's able. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's thinking about your situation. You need to see it turned around. You need to see what, just imagine what it would be like with that situation gone. Envision it right now. See it right now. See the thing gone. See yourself just the way, if it's physical, you see yourself healed. You see yourself. Dodie Osteen, she was healed of cancer. Joel's mom, she would take a picture and put it above her mirror of her healthy and vibrant. And just every time she would see it, that's what she would see. And that's, she just built that picture with the word. Then she would go over scriptures daily. And she would just remind herself, that's what I am. That's the way I see myself. That's the way, that's my body right there. If it's financial, you just see yourself, what would I do if it were just like this? If it's physical with one of your kids, you imagine your life without that. You say, that's the way it is. That's what God, that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. Let's just agree with him. If it's your children, somewhere, you know, your adult children or some other relationship, you just see that. You, Brother Hagin tells the story of a lady that said she hated her mother-in-law. And Brother Hagin said, well, how would you act if you loved her? What would you do if you loved her? How would you act? Act that way. Start treat. What would you say to her? What would you? And she started doing that. She said, she's not so bad. I don't hate my mother-in-law. She's an okay person. Let's not wait for it to change before we start seeing it the way it ought to be. And let's start speaking it the way God sees it. We're taking sides with him. It's not up to us to change it. It's up to him to change it. All we have to do is take sides with him and say, God, I believe what you said. It's his power. It's not us working it up saying, well, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it. No, don't get into that. Just say, Lord, I agree with you. I see it change. And just let his power take over. Just let him take over. Just see it. Just see it done. I know we're taking a few minutes here. Just see it. So people are getting free here. Just take a moment and say, I see it done. See it with your mind right now. Hallelujah. It's changing. God has called you free. God has called you changed. Let's make up our minds when we go out of here. We're not going to let any words come out that are going to contradict that. We're going to agree with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just praise God. Just raise your hands and thank him. Thank you, Lord.